This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. My guest is someone very special to me. He's the multi-talented play-by-play announcer for the New York Red Bulls Radio Network and Monmouth University's Digital Network, Matt Harmon. Matt, great to have you on the show.
Doug, appreciate it. It's been a long road from when we first started together, right? I was just actually talking about you not too long ago, thinking back, geez, maybe 30 years, almost 30 years, and I was your statistician spotter at a high school football game, and that's kind of what got me started in the industry.
Yeah, I remember it quite well, because before we get into your wonderful career, your late father, Art Harmon, hired me as a ninth grade basketball coach when he was the athletic director at Rumson Fairhaven High School. And he was a great guy and so passionate about his job and sports and family. And he told me at the time that he had a son who was interested in broadcasting. And that son was you.
Crazy how that came together, right? My dad unfortunately passed away in 2009, but the number of people that he either helped me get associated with, somebody like yourself, or people that still to this day, now almost 15 years later, that still walk up and say, hey, I remember when your dad told me this, that, or whatever else. He left quite a mark on people, and it's something to this day that I'm still really proud of to be able to say I'm his son. And it's crazy sometimes. And I say this in my classes as a faculty member at Monmouth, your network is only as big as sometimes, you know, you want it to be. And sometimes it's just by luck. I mean, had he not hired you as a basketball coach, I probably would have never had the opportunity that I did when I was in college. And, you know, now I graduated Monmouth in 1996. So again, almost 30 years of kind of working in the industry and being in the business, I'm quite lucky. And as you said, oddly enough, I can go back to, I'm sure my dad somewhere up there is saying, see, I'm still helping you out. And that's kind of how it all started.
Very special guy. He also created a legacy. You've been a lifeguard and for many years, and he got you involved in that as well, right?
Yeah, just this past summer of 23, I finished my 35th year on the beach. So this one will be 36 coming up. My brother and I both worked down in Seaguard. He's got me by a few years just by the basis of being older. Fortunate for the last couple of years to have, I have three great kids, but my middle guy, Cooper, is the one who's most involved on the beach. He'll be starting his third year there. And obviously it's super special. I'm hoping that my younger guy, Luke, who will be able to work on the beach in a couple of years, will also join us down there. But it's amazing to be able to go down and know how important that's been to the Harmon family overall, from my dad to my brother to me, my nephew, who's my brother's son, same age as my 18-year-old Cooper. He works down there as well. So we have quite the little family gathering that we've got going on down in Seaguard right now.
A tremendous legacy. And for those who haven't ever watched a lifeguard competition, to know how really talented and physical they are, you have to catch one of those events to appreciate. Sometimes when we think of lifeguards, we think of just the person who's sitting up on a chair looking at people, but that's not what it's all about when it comes to what Matt and the Harmons have been doing for years. You take great pride in that, don't you?
No doubt, Doug. You know, again, just from a family legacy standpoint, and I think the lifeguard industry, dare I say, or use that term, it's something that a lot of people misunderstand, because they'll think of, oh, I watched Baywatch last week, you know, and this is what was going on the show. You know, I'll give you a real recent example. This past weekend, a documentary that I was, I'll say, fortunate enough because of the outcome of it, fortunate enough to kind of be involved with, from being interviewed on, go back to July 4th weekend, 2021. Just prior to work, we had a CPR call and an unconscious person that had washed up on the beach. Turned out it was a full-blown cardiac drowning situation that we were able to save the person. And why I say just this past weekend, we were fortunate enough to have a company come in and put together a short documentary on it, which won in the Garden State Film Festival. I think the category was Best Homegrown Documentary. It's something that's called This Is Why We Train, and it's something that we'll use down in Seaguard for training purposes. And I know some of the other organizations, not just in the state, but even my brothers who a little bit more active in the national organization. It's been shown at some of the national meetings, and it's about a 20-minute documentary. I don't know that it's publicly out for everyone yet, but probably will be soon. I know they've been trying to wait to get it through some of these film festivals, but it won in its category. And it is a grim reminder of just how serious the job can be. I actually rewatched it just yesterday. And, you know, things like that, you never quite know when the job is all of a sudden going to become, hey, I get to hang out on the beach, to something really serious. Listen, I'm not going to lie to you and say there's not a ton of fun parts to it, to the job as well. But when it gets serious, it becomes just what that is. It becomes really serious.
And thus the need to always keep in shape. And if Matt and I have any big differences, that's it. Because he's always in great shape. And, well, you can see what I look like. So, but, you know, you're an avid skier. You've always worked out. You were a running back for the Monmouth University football team. You know, you're a mainstay at Monmouth University. Not only are you calling the sports action.
Nutter, stripped, grabbed by Valencia. Ahead for Spence. Monmouth with one. Spence lets it go. It hits. Spence off the window. Monmouth will win by three. 74-71. Merry Christmas, Jakari Spence.
You have been a specialist professor there now for many, many years and have taught all kinds of sports classes for the students. I guess that has to be really a strong connection for you as well, because to go to a university and now you've made that university your career as an educator, that has to be special as well.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'll trace some of that back to my dad being in education for as long as he was, and the coaching side of things was something that when I got done at Monmouth, again, my undergrad work in 1996, I started working a little bit in the broadcast field, some odds and end jobs. And I'll be able to, when you want, pull up another story of you helping me out along the way in my career. But then I decided in there, if I could go back to the school and try and give back a little bit and almost think of holes that were in the curriculum when I was a student there, I would always want to try and do that. And I started my adjunct faculty career in 1999. So this is my 25th year of being on some sort of faculty position at Monmouth. Fortunately for me, you know, the last half of those have been full-time and have been able to develop a lot of classes around sports, which, you know, I actually just said the other day to one of my classes, I still feel like sports is such a, and you're a huge sports fan, Doug. I mean, what better teaching ground is it where so many worlds can intersect, whether it's political, religious, science, the competition side of things, the sociology, the psychology, so many worlds can kind of intersect in the sports world. And to me, it's such a good, it's fun, obviously, to be involved with the industry, but from a teaching perspective, there's so many things that we can attach ourselves to, and I think learn from. That's kind of the idea of it, learn from in the sports world. So fortunate to be able to have that job, which lets me do some of my broadcast stuff as well. The school has always been great to, I'll say, know that they've got someone as a specialist professor who still works in the industry and still, you know, thinks that he works pretty hard at it.
And works well. New Jersey Sportscaster of the Year several times and has continued to just grow and grow as a major play-by-play announcer. 10th season with the Red Bulls.
Good tackle, Kyle Duncan off of Campana. Van Zaire breaking forward. Noah Allen, last man back. Van Zaire has Morgan. Played across. Let's make it three for Morgan. Lewis Morgan, have a day. The combination between Morgan and Van Zaire has been spectacular. And New York just drubbing Miami right now. Up 4-0.
That's a great run for a play-by-play announcer. What is it about this game of soccer? You played it, you coached it in the high school level as well. What is it about soccer that excites Matt Harmon?
we could talk soccer for sure, but I'd say any sport. And I would go so far as to talk about the idea that you never really know what you're getting yourself into on a game in, game out basis. I mean, listen, how many people can talk about the mundane nature of their everyday job and career? That's not what being a sports broadcaster is all about. You don't know who's going to win. You don't know who's going to lose. You don't know what the weather's going to be. You don't know if there's going to be a good call, the bad call, a record-setting performance, something in there that might make the job unique and fun. And I've been fortunate. You mentioned this is my 10th year with Red Bull. That, quite honestly, Doug, has been almost a saving grace for me. I was really fortunate in 2015 to get hooked up with the right people. And sometimes luck is, I'll say, on your side. And that particular year it was, I was one of a couple of guys that got hired. And at the end of the year, the decision was made to just kind of go to one of us. And that was me. I have a great group around me. Now, that group has changed in the nature of sports. Some people come, some people go. I've had the opportunity to work with the same guy, former player Steve Jolly. We've been together for 10 years as the radio crew. We have a great engineering staff. We have great support from the upper level of the team and the franchise, for Mark de Grand Prix, who's the general manager, thinking Joe Stetson, who's been with us for a long time. And then so many other people, Christina, Gordon, Jason Baum, who hired me years ago, Andrew Bazzano, Zach Leahy, who's now part of it, Elisa, who's been brought into the fold. I mean, there's so many people that I could probably think about. And then on top of it, the coaches and the players that have been such a big part of it as well. And, you know, dare I say, from 2015 and now 2024, the team, though we haven't been the last team standing, we've had a lot of success and some unbelievable memories and opportunities that I've been able to get myself involved with, from calling every single game in Major League Soccer to playoffs to international tournaments that we've been involved with. It's really been a fantastic job for me, and one that I am to this day, I still say I'm blessed to have it.
What a great decision it was to have Red Bull Arena built in Harrison. That place is a haven for soccer fans like yourself and gets really pumped up. And I know, speaking to Daniel Edelman on a recent Sports Jam, one of your midfielders, he talked about how the crowd really, you know, gets behind the team, and that matters. You can feel the energy from the crowd.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the first two games of this season that have been at Red Bull Arena, we had our home opener the third week of the year, playing in a downpour against FC Dallas. Crowd was tremendous. Won that game. This past week, we had our second home game of the year against Miami. That was the game everyone had talked about, because Miami has Leo Messi, who was out of the game with injury, and it coincided with an international break. So both teams were missing some pretty key pieces. You know, if Miami has Messi, Red Bull in the offseason signing Emil Forsberg to come in, and it was supposed to be this unbelievable showdown. Both guys were either A, injured, or B, on international break. Another driving rainstorm on Saturday. And it was kind of one of those games where you were thinking, all right, no Messi, no Forsberg. It's not the game everyone had probably hoped for at the beginning part of the year. What's the crowd going to be like? The game was already sold out, because before everyone probably realized it was international break. And the crowd was tremendous. And you could tell that in a 4-0 win, the team definitely fed off of that energy. And I'll still say it, amongst every Major League Soccer stadium that I have been to over the course of my 10 years, it is the best. It really is. It's not the newest anymore. It's not the shiny wheel that it was in 2010 when it first opened up. But 15 years later, it is still the best place to watch a soccer match, hands down.
How about Messi, though? He has really changed how people look at MLS, right? Coming to Inter Miami, that has really injected some major interest in this league and shows that MLS is in good shape.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you can point to a couple of key moments in the history of Major League Soccer. One, you could start with when the World Cup was here all the way back in 1994. That was predicated on the United States bringing back a professional league. Go back to the the days of the NASL, most people would say, oh, the Cosmos, which had Pelé and Beckenbauer and all those guys, and they were so great through the 70s. Then that league went away, mid-80s, and there was no professional soccer league really to speak of up until 1996 when Major League Soccer came through. Some bumps and bruises clearly along the way. And in there, you see a David Beckham come into the league and kind of restart the early part of the league. Expansion takes place over the course of the last 10 years. Several teams come into the league. And this latest one with Messi, I mean, it's hard to argue that if he's not the greatest player to ever play, you'd have to probably find a really good argument to say that he's not. And the interest in the league probably is at an all-time high. They're going to welcome in San Diego as the 30th team in Major League Soccer next year. I don't know if they're going to stop at 30 or keep going, but there continues to be a high level. And listen, we saw it up close and personal back in 2023 when Miami came to New Jersey and played Red Bull in what was his first game in the regular season for MLS. And it was a spectacle. I mean, not only did he put on a good show, and he's done so pretty much every time he's put his cleats on, it was an amazing thing to kind of be a part of. Unfortunately, on that day, Miami got the better of Red Bull. But to be able to, from a personal aspect, say, oh, I call the game of Leo Messi is something that is a nice little feather in a broadcaster's cap.
Alba, an unbelievable touch. Messi inside the 18. Slipping Kramaski. Back across for Messi, who finishes it off. Miami goes up 2-0. Tic-tac-toe started with a wild touch from Jordi Alba to keep it in. Miami opening Red Bull up, and the second goal of the game will come for the world's greatest player.
An exciting time for soccer in New Jersey and New York. When you think about Gotham FC on the women's side winning the championship, and now, you know, Red Bull's off to a great start this season at 10 points out of, you know, just a few games. So it just shows that not only is the league committed to continuing to grow, but our area teams, Gotham FC has gone all in to get all kinds of wonderful players this year, even after winning the championship. What is it about New Jersey and soccer? It seems to be, you know, in the Ironbound, it's always been big, right? In Newark, soccer. But soccer overall in the Garden State has seemed to really just grow and grow.
Well, I mean, listen, take some of the statistics out of it. You can always argue that it's the most popular sport in the world. And here in the United States, there have always been, I'd say, pockets of the game really being important. And where Red Bull Arena is in Harrison, you talk about the Ironbound in Newark, go a little bit further outside of the area and say Kearney, which is referred to as Soccer Town USA. I mean, that pipeline of talent in that area has been spectacular. So many names have been attached to that area. And then it's obviously expanded out a little bit into the entirety of New Jersey, which continues. And I would go for so far, Doug, as to say, when you look at the next kind of upcoming classes of really talented soccer players, the Red Bull Academy is always at the top of Major League Soccer. You know, dare I say, the Philadelphia Union, usually at the top of academy players. And they pull, obviously, from the kind of that South Jersey area. So the metro area in and of itself has always done so well from a talent perspective. You know, I saw it here growing up. I'm born and raised in Wall, New Jersey, and for many years in the 80s growing up, Wall had this unbelievable team that people would flock to. I mean, you'd see thousands of people at a high school soccer game. You don't really see that today anymore at that level, unless it's just maybe a state championship thing, but a regular season game, you get 1,000 people to come and watch some of these teams back in the 80s that Wall would have. And I just think for whatever the reason, it's been a sport that has always been popular in this state. And I don't really see a reason that that won't continue.
You've worked with one of the legends of this state, and so have I. We've both done play-by-play with the legendary Kevin Williams by our side. Kevin Williams, recently retired from WOBM after a brilliant four-decade career. But you had the pleasure, and so did I, of working right next to this guy who knew everyone when it came to Ocean and Monmouth County sports. What an icon he is, and how much have you learned through the years from Kevin Williams?
Oh, Doug, I mean, I would call you Wally Pipp if I'm Lou Gehrig, right? Because you left and I was able to step into your shoes and be able to work with Kevin for the better part of 20 years. And I mean, listen, I think the nice thing between all of us is it wasn't ever going to work, right? I mean, clearly you were there to do a job, but it was more about you got to spend a couple hours with Doug Doyle. You got to spend a couple hours with Kevin Williams. Not only were the broadcasts always good, of which I felt like they were, it was more about the friendship that developed out of it. And I feel like I've been able to do that with people at Monmouth. I've been able to do it at Red Bull as well. And I mean, listen, you've been in it for a long time. And the one thing that would be something I would say I learned from Kevin was try to balance it all out. I mean, I'm listening downstairs. I can hear my kids getting ready for their afternoon stuff. I have a wonderful wife, my wife, Megan, who is supportive of everything that I do from a travel perspective and a work perspective. And sometimes it's a lot, you know, it's a lot for people to deal with in their everyday life. But between you, between Kevin, I mean, that's how I grew up. You know, like I obviously had people that I would listen to on the radio and TV, but from a personal standpoint, I would say from the two of you both, and I put the two of you in the same sentence. I know you probably want to focus more on Kevin, which I can appreciate, but the two of you are A and B in terms of people that helped me develop, not just as a broadcaster, but as a person. Just talked to Kevin not too long ago, and I know he was probably on some level sad to leave the radio world, but has a great opportunity now where he is. He's working for Jersey Mike's. But he's an absolute legend. And, you know, again, one thing that I always try to do, he never made it, and you didn't either, Doug, you never made it about yourself. It wasn't, oh, hey, I'm Kevin Williams. I'm here to do the game today. And that is something I have always tried to reconcile with myself. And I talk about it in classes. If you're making a broadcast about you, then you're not there for the right reasons. And I definitely learned that from the two of you.
Well, what an incredible team you two were with the Shore Sports Network, because we didn't even call it that when we were doing the games. You guys created the Shore Sports Network and did all kinds of fantastic games, and I'm sure those memories will never leave you. You talked about the word balance. You know, you and Megan, how do you do it? You've owned a restaurant bar with your brother for many years. You know, you have the family, you have the education side as a professor, you have the sports side. I've always wondered how you've been able to balance everything.
Sometimes your head spins a little bit. Again, I think it starts within the walls of your house, first and foremost, that everybody seems to be on the same page with things. And again, I think the nice thing is that having kids who have been interested in things athletically certainly helps as well, right? So that if you can say, I mean, I'm thinking back to, I mentioned David Beckham before. I can remember bringing our oldest son, Daniel, to the first game that Beckham played in Major League Soccer, which was at Giant Stadium back then against Red Bull. Having my sons, Cooper and Luke, come to games with me. Every once in a while, I can grab Megan on a trip and we get to go check out another place. So listen, it's definitely about the balance and everything that I have going on. I'd credit Monmouth in there as well, because they definitely see the value in having a professor on faculty that also works in the industry. Some of those games for Monmouth, some of them obviously with Red Bull. And part of it too is probably my own, I guess, willingness to always look for new challenges and look for new opportunities. You know, I mean, I've been fortunate to be able to do that. You know, I mean, I said at some point I'd figure out a way to work this story in. I mean, go back to 1998. I can remember handing you a cassette tape and saying, can you bring this to, at that point, Shadow Broadcast Services, who was looking for an overnight update person because the 1998 Winter Games were in Japan. And rather than have things be pre-recorded, they needed somebody there and live. At that point, my first opportunity in New York radio was on Bloomberg, where you were working in that area as well. Bloomberg, Wynn, CBS, we all kind of worked together. And, you know, that was my first real entry into kind of, I'll say, bigger time radio. You know, it's about connections. It's about balance. It's about having a great family and great people behind you. And hope that you're still, at the end of the day, I just turned 50 about a month ago, that you're still interested and excited about doing what it is you do. And I can say that in pretty much every aspect of my life.
Still around 30 to me, and you look like you're 30, right?
Congratulations. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It must be the Zoom. It must be the filter I have on.
No,
Zoom
it's
right now.
It's just how it's just like my cousin Keith. You'll always be young and vibrant in my mind, and you guys are blessed with youth. You know, you and I both had a wonderful connection with our fathers that really, you know, inspired us to do sports, be around sports. And I think, you know, having a good family is something. I want to just ask you one more question, and that is, you've given me great advice over the years about being a dad. What is it about fatherhood that has been the best for Matt Harmon?
Well, Doug, that's a great question. And as I think of it, I'm probably starting to almost tear up a little bit, because you think about, I remember the conversations we had for you when you were maybe going through a little bit of a tough time in your life, and I've gone through tough times and I've turned to you. You knowing my dad when he passed away in 2009, and then seeing your dad pass away, and I can remember having those conversations with you. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, it might be a little bit cliche, but I have three kids, and I can honestly look at all of them. And I think this is what you're supposed to say, right? You want them to be better than you were at the end of the day, whatever they're involved with, whether it's their career, being a family person, being a good dad, you hope that they are better than you are. And it's not a win loss. It's just, hey, can you learn from maybe the lessons that I've tried to teach you? And oftentimes I reflect on things that my dad did right, and sometimes that my dad did wrong. And I can think, how has that shaped me into the person I am today? And I hope my kids will be able to do that down the line. So probably a roundabout way of saying there's nothing better than being a dad. And I'm blessed with great kids. You know, one of them's already out of school and has graduated. One of them will start school next year at Springfield College in Massachusetts, my son Cooper, where ironically enough, my dad went to and played soccer back in the 60s. Cooper's going to follow his footsteps there. And then I've got one more, my son Luke, and he's going to start high school next year, which seems crazy to me as well. And I think all of them are basically just starting to tap into their potential of who they will be as they become teenagers to young men to ultimately, you know, full grown men, and hopefully are happy with what they do with their life as they move forward.
Well said. You will see him either at Red Bull Arena in Harrison. You might see him in the classroom at Monmouth University. You might see him on the beach at the Jersey Shore saving lives. He's Matt Harmon, and he has been a dear friend for many years. And it has been such a pleasure to have you on Sports Jam.
Doug, I'm impressed with the jerseys behind you. I do wonder if you had like a different sports person on. Do you have jerseys to go across the back? If I was more basketball related, are you going to throw up a Bill Russell, Will Chamberlain combination?
I usually have people that have been on the show, right? So I try to get as many jerseys of the performers that have been on the show. So yes, I change my jerseys quite a bit.
When can we talk hockey, by the way? Let's go Rangers.
Hey, I think they might win the cup.
No, don't say that right now. Say it in June. Don't say it in April. I don't want to talk about it until it actually happens.
You have a terrific team this year, so we'll see if it all works out. I hope you and Ken Downey Jr. get to celebrate. My two New York Ranger fans, I hope you guys are celebrating at the end of the year, because my Pens are already out. So got to root for
somebody
else.
Thanks for having me on the show. I'm such a huge fan of everything that you still do. And you talk about Kevin, who's our connection, being a Hall of Famer. You're right there as well. You are one of the very best to have ever done it in this area.
Thanks, Matt. Continued success. Porch Jam is a WBGO Studios production. You can hear all the past shows, including one with Kevin Williams, at wbgo.org/sportsjam or wbgo.org/studios. You can also find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on the NPR list of podcasts or wherever you hear podcasts. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.